This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do now.
Oh, who cares?
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California, and it's plain to see you can't change me because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
Appreciate that, Oreo. Evan Giddings and Sam Lubman in for Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky here on The Morning Roast. We're brought to you by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Talking about the Warriors who are honoring the 2015 squad tonight, and to bring it into now, Sam, the question that I have for people at 888-957-9570 is, which team, if you could transport yourself back in time, do you believe in more? Take yourself what you thought at around this time in 2015. So they were really good, right? One seed, 67 wins. Who do you have more faith in? Who do you believe in more?
Ugh, you know, there's just so many ways you can go with this here, but I think I would probably lean towards...
We're talking about the best chance to win a title. Like,
yeah,
which
no,
team you believe in more that can win it?
Yeah. Probably leaning more towards what that 2015 team and how they looked, only because, I mean, they were number one in offensive defensive rating all year long. Like, night in and night out, they were just obliterating teams. So much so that, you know, even when they were down early, you never had any doubt that they would actually come back and win. The game I always remember that year in the regular season was the February 4th game against the Dallas Mavericks. Mavericks absolutely motorboated the Warriors in the first quarter. I think it was like 45-20 after that first quarter. I remember I was in my apartment with my roommates in college at the time, and I turned to my roommate and I said after the first quarter, watch, they're probably going to come back and just win this, because it was an ESPN game, so I actually got to watch it out in Miami. And sure enough, what do you know? The Warriors came back and they won that game. And that's just the confidence that, as a Warrior fan, I had at the time, which is wild to say that kind of confidence was new at the time. But as much as they didn't have that pedigree, as much as they could blow it at any time, feeling was there. Looking around the rest of the NBA landscape that year, and it was, I don't want to say a down year for the league, but around the rest of the Western Conference, the only teams that kind of concerned me were the Thunder, who obviously didn't make the playoffs, but maybe the Clippers, only because they had just beaten the Warriors the year prior, so they kind of had that, you know, history. Maybe the Grizzlies, because they had the size to really make the Warriors struggle. Of course, the Warriors took care of that, no problem. Once they got past the Grizzlies there, it was just like, I was cautiously confident, I guess, as you could call it, because I didn't take the Rockets seriously. I didn't think the Rockets had any chance to beat the Warriors. That five-game series was basically a formality. The only reason they lost game four is because the Warriors wanted to clinch at home. And that was the series. We talk about, you know, what that championship run meant. A big thing that I really liked that came out of that championship run was just how salty it made so many people. None more so, Carter, if we can get that sound ready, or if you want to play it, Evan, on your board. James Harden, That run was really where my hatred of James Harden began. And there's a speech he gave to the Rockets during the regular season, where he talked about how the Warriors aren't that good. Evan, if you could play that, please.
You beat us already twice, dog. You beat us already twice. That ain't that good, man. Let's go.
Not just saying that. They're beat us, but they're not that good. It's just the saltiness that James Harden had towards the Warriors and continues to have towards the Warriors because they keep beating him into the ground. Oh, it's just so satisfying. So the fact that the Warriors were able to just demoralize teams like that year, how great they were, the eye test, the stats all told the same story. Like, that team probably gave me more confidence to win it all than the addition that we're seeing right now.
No, but I'm talking about, like, right now. Like, I don't mean going into the playoffs or seeing, and I understand, yeah, when you get to the second round of the conference finals, you think you can win it. I'm talking about, like, 2015 in February, when you've never won a championship before. You've never sniffed the conference finals. You hadn't had an all-star for a almost 20-year period until David Lee got there, and now you had Steph and Clay. I actually think, if I could transport myself back in time, and maybe this is just a reflection of kind of the optimism that I had as a Warriors fan, I think it's this. Like, there's more confidence that I have in this year's team than I did in that year's team because I'd never seen it before. And the 707 brings up a good point, more in the 2015 squad, because the Celtics and Cavs weren't monsters lingering, so it's more about what's in the East than in the West. But because, to me, it comes down to pedigree. It comes down to resume. What the Warriors have on this year's team are champions. That team didn't have any proven players. It had a rookie head coach. And don't get me wrong, they were damn good. But the guy who was probably the most seasoned on that team was Andre Iguodala. And he was someone that came off the bench. You know, so the Warriors had a lot to prove that season. And obviously they did. They won the championship. But to me, looking back on it, the answer is, yeah, of course, clearly the 2015 team, they're better. But if I'm thinking about where I was when I was 20 years old, sitting on my couch in college, thinking about what that team could do, I don't think I had as much confidence as I do now in this team.
I mean, there was a point, though, you look around the rest of the league, and everyone says the same thing, but I think it really did apply to the Warriors. It's just like, why not them? Like, again, everywhere around the league, the Hawks were the hot team in the East that year, but I don't think anyone was really taking them seriously as a legitimate playoff threat that year. The Cavs with LeBron were lurking. Obviously, LeBron was at the height of his powers at the time, still might be at the height of his powers, even at age 40. But it was, when you look around the NBA landscape right now, I mean, obviously with Jimmy Butler and the Warriors, it's 6 games in, everything looks great so far. There's a part of me, though, things have been going so great so far with the Warriors and Jimmy Butler now. The next thing that's going to be wild to see, I kind of want to see him hit a little bit of a bump in the road just to kind of see how they handle it, how they bounce back from it and adjust to it. And my guess is, you know, my guess is that they would be able to handle it. But I want to see them deal with a little bit of adversity just to see how they handle it. That Warriors team, though, I mean, they had some ups and downs in 2015. But for the most part, anytime they had some sort of a setback or a loss, I think that the worst they had was a 2-game losing streak in December. Nothing really knocked them off course, though. And it got to a point where, you know, when you're in February and they're down by 20 after one quarter against a Dallas Mavericks team that in the past had given the Warriors some troubles, it was like, you know what? Yeah, I still feel confident and that they'll come back and win. And that was a confidence that as a Warrior fan, I had never had before. I just assumed going into every Warrior game, they're going to figure out a way to lose. That year, though, it was the first time where just everything about that team was just so seamless, so easy that, yeah, I was, you know, I know I was saying in the first segment how I just, you didn't believe it until it happened. And this is kind of where it gets contradictory as a fan. You don't believe it, but you still think it can happen. And that's kind of where I was. It was just like, they will figure it out unless they find a way to blow it. But the way they were playing that year, it was just hard to just objectively look at them and be like, no, I don't see it. Like, objectively looking at them, that was the best team in the NBA that year by far. And that's why I had more confidence in that team than this team that we see right now, which, as good as the Warriors are looking right now, I don't think you could say they're the best team in the NBA by far right now, like we were saying back in 2015.
No, but I remember there was only one media member that picked the Warriors to win the championship that year.
Well, just because the media wasn't in on it doesn't mean that
No, but I'm saying, but
it was unexpected. Absolutely, I think there's more expectations.
But
for
it
goes.
I'm just saying it goes to show that there was a lack of belief, even into your point. Quite clearly, the best team in the NBA because they didn't have any titles.
Well, yeah. So is it just the championship pedigree is what gives
I think that's
belief?
What giving people. I think that's what gives people a lot of hope. And the fact that you bring in a player who doesn't have a championship, but a winner in Jimmy Butler. Again, I'm not talking about the entire season this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about these last six games, which seems to have this city, the Bay Area, back to believing that this team can make some real noise.
Is the buzz more about because how good it is right now over these last six games, or is it because we're comparing it to the previous 2.5 years that have been?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Just admittedly a lot of blah basketball. You know, there's been flashes of Warriors basketball, but for the most part, the Warriors have been just a middling, just above 500 team, which is not the most entertaining product. I mean, a month ago, Steph's telling people to stop tweeting, and Steve Kerr's talking about a crisis in confidence. You know, what we're experiencing now compared to what we're experiencing a month ago is night and day. It's like you're going from eating stale peanut butter to eating a steak sandwich a month later. That's going to be a massive jump there. It's going to have you feeling really good. So how much of that confidence now is just based on the fact that a month ago we were as in the dumps as you could possibly be?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously things are better than they were a month ago. But to me, the common theme between the two sides of this decade are hope. You know, people were hopeful back then, and it was rooted in what you saw. But I think people are just as equally hopeful now. You know, people have a lot of belief in this team. And I'm not so sure that this team can win a championship. But it has more to do with them than it does other teams. Like, I guess I just need to see a type of team. Like, the Warriors are at the end of where dynasties typically are. Again, the Warriors are a part of five organizations that have become dynasties. The Lakers, the Celtics, the Bulls, the Spurs, and them. The Minneapolis Lakers were the first dynasty. Those from 47 to 54. The Boston Celtics had their run in the 50s and 60s, from 57 to 69.
There's also like eight teams in the NBA back then, too, wasn't there? So it was a much different
I'm just going to give you the years of these dynasties.
Yeah, no, that's fine. No, I just...
Jesus, Sam. Well, I'm sorry.
It was just throwing a fact. It was less teams back then.
No, sorry. You just... You screamed at me.
Oh, I did. Oh, my bad.
Yeah. But the Lakers, from 80 to 91, that's about 10 years.
Yeah.
The Bulls, 91 to 98, as far as winning championships. The Lakers had their kind of mini run, 2000 to 2004. If you want to extend it out, I guess you could do that. But to me,
just
that's
the entire Kobe run, I guess.
Yeah, and then 99 to 14 for the San Antonio Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Warriors are kind of pushing up against that line and where dynasties typically tend to fall off. And so I think it adds even more urgency on this season. Like, if I'm looking at the way that they're playing right now, the kind of rhetoric that we're hearing from this squad, the confidence that appears to be oozing out of them on like every single night now that they have Jimmy Butler, in many ways, Sam, I do feel like this is the last best chance for them to win a title. And thinking about the 2015 team who they're going to honor tonight at Chase Center has just got me feeling like they have to try and maximize this window, because I didn't know that window was going to be 10 years. I for sure do not believe that there's going to be another 10 years. But when you have a good team, when you have an opportunity, you got to take advantage of it. And I think this team has got something.
Yeah, I mean, I think by bringing in Jimmy Butler, they're absolutely taking advantage of the last kind of, you know, days that this window will be open. I'm a little bit more optimistic. I do think that even if they don't get the job done this year, they'll still have a chance to do it next year. They'll have a full season, whatever that looks like, of Jimmy Butler. And more importantly, it's just, I'd be curious to see, you know, what additions they make this summer to supplement this roster. Because, you know, when Kevin Durant came here, obviously it became very important to build the depth around that core four there, or the Hamptons five, if you want to include Andre Iguodala in that list as well. And part of the reason why the Warriors were able to fill out the roster so much, because free agents looked at that team and said, hey, that's a team that's going somewhere. I want to hitch my wagon to them. I could see the Warriors kind of having a similar appeal this summer, to where, again, I'm not off the top of my head who know who all the free agents are going to be or who's going to be available. There's so much that can change between now and then. But no, I do think the Warriors, with the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, they have a legitimate, I think, two-year window here, potentially three, but I think let's focus on this year and next year to really make something happen here. Is their best chance this year? Maybe, because you just don't really know what the West is going to exactly look like next year. You got to figure the Spurs, they're going to be in a better situation with Wemby back again. The Rockets, they're going to be a better team. The Lakers with Luka, they're going to be building more around him next year, assuming LeBron retires, which I'm not actually assuming will happen. But the Lakers will be in the mix as well. Kings, Mavericks, are they going to be fitting in? So much is up in the air as far as next year versus what we know now. But that being said, no, I do think the Warriors have the building blocks in place to where they can have a great run this year, and then they can use that to have another great run next year.
888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Gittings, Sam Lubman in for Joe Shasky and Joe Spadoni here on the roast. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. We're going to talk to Festus Ezeli, 2015 NBA champion for the Warriors, at 8:30. And then St. Mary's men's basketball head coach Randy Bennett, fresh off an outright conference title, is going to join us at 9 o'clock. Yeah, I actually don't think that the window is still just going to be open necessarily. You know, and I'm not saying that it's just going to shut, but this idea that players are going to want to come and join Golden State this summer, I don't know how flexible they'll be able to be, especially if they want to keep someone like Jonathan Kuminga. I think this is going to be their team. Now, how much better they get, the fact that Moses Moody has improved, the fact that Brandon Podziemski, happy birthday to him, turns 22 today, has gotten as good as he has in a short period of time, is impressive. But you just mentioned a lot of really young basketball teams in the West. And while I think the two best squads are the Celtics and the Cavaliers this season, next year, okay, you're telling me that the Nuggets are still going to be around. Jokic is still in his prime.
You still bank on that, yeah.
He's still going to be in his prime.
Yeah.
The Thunder are going to have another year of experience.
Mm-hmm.
The Rockets are going to have a year of experience. The Minnesota Timberwolves, who just had arguably the most impressive fourth quarter comeback and overtime win last night I've seen this season, are going to have another year of experience. You mentioned the Spurs, who are going to have their first season of Wembanyama and De'Aaron Fox. The West is not going to get any easier. And the Warriors are not getting any younger. That's another reason why there is urgency on this season. Does it mean I think they'll win a championship? I have my doubts. But I do think that this is the last best opportunity they're going to get. And they recognize that. And that's why they swung big and also had to pay through the teeth $112 million extension to pair Jimmy Butler with Curry and Draymond.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point. I mean, yeah, they might not win. I mean, the odds are stacked against them no matter what these next 2 years. But with Jimmy Butler in tow now on this team, what you're basically doing is you're giving what I think the Warriors essentially... The goal, obviously, is to win a championship. I think the more broader, realistic goal is to put themselves in positions to win a championship. You know, that was... Steph just said, you know, he just wants to play meaningful basketball. And Steve Kerr, when he was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday...
Do you want to hear that
spoke
quote?
On that. Yeah, I was going to play it off my computer, but if you want to... It'd probably be better if you want to play it. The goal was to play meaningful basketball games. And I want to try and play it. And then let's have some fun here with this one. And you know, how having Jimmy Butler on the squad accomplishes the goal of giving Steph meaningful basketball to play.
He has expressed that many times to the media. He just wants to play meaningful basketball. And I love that. I think it's a great phrase because it's humble, but it's also hopeful. And he's basically telling everybody that, you know, give us a chance. If we have a shot, and we're going to make the most of it. And I think the trade has given us a chance. And Steph feels that. Our fans feel it. We needed a shakeup. It was the right deal at the right time. Jimmy just happened to be available. And Mike Dunleavy did a great job of making it happen. So, yeah, we're in a good place. But a lot of stuff has to happen for us. We've got to stay healthy. You know, we've got to win some games and put ourselves in good position. And we like where we're heading, but not getting ahead of ourselves either.
You know, give them a chance. It gives them hope. It gives them the opportunity to be able to go on that run. And so when I look at the West next year, there's a part of me, Evan, a big part of me that thinks that if the Warriors could just position themselves to be able to be in that top six this year and next year, I believe that they have as good a chance as any to be able to figure out a way to reel off a run, do some damage in the West, and I don't know, maybe mess around and win an extra NBA title in this run.
No, I guess if for some reason that clip didn't go over for our YouTube and Twitch chat.
Oh, you know, I think we got to take we got to put Hockey 3 in program. So that's my bad, Carter.
All good. I'm going to play right now.
Yeah, why don't we just do that from now on?
He has expressed that many times to the media. He just wants to play meaningful basketball, and I love that. I think it's a great phrase because it's humble, but it's also hopeful. And he's basically telling everybody that, you know, give us a chance. If we have a shot, and we're going to make the most of it. And I think the trade has given us a chance, and Steph feels that. Our fans feel it. We needed a shakeup. It was the right deal at the right time. Jimmy just happened to be available, and Mike Dunleavy did a great job of making it happen. So, yeah, we're in a good place, but a lot of stuff has to happen for us. We've got to stay healthy. You know, we've got to win some games and put ourselves in good position. And we like where we're heading, but not getting ahead of ourselves either.
You know, that's a term that I've heard used a lot by Curry, by Kerr, this idea of meaningful basketball. What do you think that means? Like, when they say meaningful basketball, what do people think that Steph Curry and Steve Kerr are talking about?
I believe those are basketball games you're being played where the overall end game is playing for a championship. That is what, when a game means something, it means that there's stakes in terms of getting you closer to that overall goal of winning that next championship. And so when stakes like that are on the line, yeah, that's what meaningful games are.
Yeah, I don't think it's just getting into the playoffs.
Oh, you got to be, well, getting into the playoffs is step one, though, obviously. You get into the playoffs at step one. Step two is, all right, let's take it series by series. Let's see what these guys can do against whoever they get in the first round, whoever they get in the second round. And it's just, what damage can you do in the playoffs once you get there? If they just make the playoffs, get knocked down the first round, obviously that'll be very frustrating and disappointing. But if the goal is to put yourself in a position to win the championship, there are steps you got to take to get there, obviously.
Yeah, but meaningful basketball to me means like Western Conference Finals.
Okay. It
means you got to be in the Final Four. Because I don't think they considered meaningful basketball when they got knocked out by the Lakers. You know, when they got taken to seven games by the Kings a couple of years ago. They weren't contenders that year. We found out that that was not a team that could contend.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was because of some things that happened off the court. The vibe of the team was a lot different. I'd argue the vibe of the team is the best it's been since the 2022 championship.
Back when they were last playing meaningful basketball.
When they were playing meaningful basketball. When you could envision that team making a run to the Western Conference Finals and beyond. So to me, I asked the question because I've heard it a lot, but I haven't heard Curry or Kerr really define it. Like, what I thought meaningful basketball was this summer for Steph was the Olympics, because that was a chance to win. But and they were the favorite, obviously, but he wanted to play meaningful games. Those knockout rounds, the gold medal game, those are meaningful games. So to me, I think that because Curry has played in so much meaningful basketball, beginning 10 years ago with the team they're going to honor tonight from 2015, That's what he's thinking about. That's what he's talking about. When Draymond Green and Steph Curry and Steve Kerr are thinking about meaningful basketball games, to me that means they want to make a run to at least the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, and I think they have a good shot this year. And as I said before, you know, I think they have the building blocks to put them in position to accomplish that goal next year. So, and I'd love to hear from our roasters on this, 888-957-9570. You know, how do you define meaningful basketball games? And is this year the last best chance they have to take advantage of this championship window? Or is there another year after that? I kind of think that the Warriors have a two playoff stretch run here that they can operate here if they do things right. And I think that's what you could really hope for right now with the Warriors. Just give them a shot and let's see what they can do with it, because I think they have the building blocks to run with this opportunity and do something special with it.
I just think it's going to be really hard on the heels of this season with what they're trying to accomplish, especially if they get to the postseason, which I think they will. If they make a deep run, to just run it back next year with an older core, you know, to me, and also in a way, it's a lot of it's going to be decided by some of their young players. You know, I think they're going to have to figure out who these guys are in the postseason. They're going to have to figure out in their first playoff run if you can contribute, if Pajemski can be a guy, Moody, Kuminga, all of these guys are going to be asked to take a big leap forward. I think that's a lot to ask. But people are hopeful. They're hopeful, just in the way I think they were, for obviously different reasons, 10 years ago in 2015. But how important is it for you, for the Warriors, to make a run at it this season? How much emphasis is on the now? They play the Charlotte Hornets tonight at 7 o'clock, going for a 6-1 start to the Jimmy Butler era. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Sam Lubman, Evan Gittings in for Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky here on the Morning Roast. We're back after this. All that coming up on The Game, brought to you by Chilton Autobot.